thou persuadest me to be a Christian. My Bible teaches me in the book of Acts, the chapter is 4 and the verses 12, that there is salvation in none other. No one else had God given under the earth, under heaven, by which we must be saved. Salvation is achieved only in Christ Jesus. Baptism puts us in Christ Jesus, where salvation is. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 teaches us that baptism does now save us. Someone says baptism is not essential, but my Bible said it is. If you don't mind, I'm going to go along with my Bible. Salvation is essential. Salvation comes as an after effect of being altogether or completely convinced that the gospel is truth. John 17 and 17. And that the gospel is God's power to save. Romans 1 verse 16 and 17 teaches from the New Learning Translation. For I am not ashamed of this good news, the gospel about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. The good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture said, it is through faith that a righteous man has life. The Bible also teaches me that without faith, it is impossible to please God. If it were possible, my friends, to take a survey of hell's population, there would be found souls of all sorts of people who were almost, Brother James, persuaded to be a Christian. Let's consider the soul of a farmer who may have said to the preacher, a preacher who has taught him the God's plan of salvation. But with watery eyes, the preacher turned to the farmer turned to the preacher and says, "Not today, preacher. Not today." The farmer was almost persuaded, but what? But he was still lost. Almost persuaded just won't do. Consider a teenager who had yearned for independence and showed it through rebellious acts. She knew God's plan of salvation, but was almost, but not altogether persuaded. She was still lost. One such man that we're studying about tonight is King Agrippa, a man of royalty, a man who had held a position of honor and authority. King Agrippa had great friends and was powerful influence on the Jews. The Apostle Paul was brought before Governor Felix for the hope of the promises that God had given even to his ancestors. As a background, let's look back at that a minute. In Acts the 26th chapter, and even starting at verse number 1, we see where Paul is there, and he's given his defense. The king has said to him, "You can speak for your own defense." And he did. He started to move his hand and speak for his own defense. He went back to his childhood and talked about the fact that how he was dedicated to those things that he was taught, even to the point that he became a Pharisee, one of the strictest sects in their religion. He said if they were only admit to it, they would know that I am faithful to the hope that is in me. They too have the same hope, he says. Why do you say they too have the same hope? Because this is the same hope that God had promised his ancestors, the forefathers. And they, forefathers, had believed in this hope and were faithful to God both day and night. And now, the same hope that these Jewish these Jewish people that were going about telling lies on Paul, this was the same hope that they had. But they were convicted to come and they were dedicated even to kill Paul. While standing before the council, Paul said, and speaks of the weakness and how he was persuaded, how he persecuted those of that way. Now that way is talking about Christianity. That's what it was called back in that day. Paul gave a testimony of his own life of corruption, as the self-proclaimed chief of sinners. Hold on just a minute again. I forgot to turn this thing on. And 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 15, Paul told of how God had changed him. He testified and said, Festus said, Paul, much learning hath made you insane. Paul preached the gospel, continued to teach the gospel to the world, even though they were calling him a madman. Has anyone ever called you a madman? Has anyone ever called you a Jesus freak? Has anyone ever called you peculiar? What a compliment that we might have, those of us that have been lived a life that would cause someone to call us such as that. The gospel is God's power to save. The gospel is truth, John 17:17 teaches. John, inspired of God to write in a prayer of Jesus for himself and for his followers, while Jesus is pleading to his Father Jehovah to make them, talk about his followers, holy, sanctify them, set them apart for your use by your word, he says, which is truth. The reason for King Agrippa's near conversion is the faith that he had received by hearing the truth. The truth of God's word. Romans 10 and verse number 17, that teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It is not good for us to be convicted unto salvation. We must be convicted and convinced into the body of Christ. Listen to what it says in Romans 10 and verse number 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is baptism that puts us into or in contact with the blood of Christ and salvation. Galatians 3 and verse number 27 teaches us that for as many of you that have been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. The word of God, the truth of God's word, the gospel truth is the reason for King Agrippa's near conversion. Listen to Paul, inspired of God, to write in the book of Acts, the 26th chapter, in verses 25 and 26 of the King James Version. But Paul said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For because the king knoweth of these things before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. This thing was not done in a corner. God's word is manifest to all. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and 8. King Agrippa was almost persuaded to become a Christian by the preaching of the gospel. He was made almost persuaded by the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, or everyone that continues to believe. The gospel is the good news of salvation from the wrath of God. What is this wrath of God? It's harsh feeling that God had toward man that was due to man's sins. A salvation made possible through the sacrifice of Christ's blood. Paul summarized the gospel as the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. The gospel is the sum total of divine revelation recorded in the sacred scriptures. The gospel is composed of facts to be believed. The gospel is composed of commandments to be obeyed. And the gospel is the promises of God to be accepted. The salvation under consideration is not mere alleviation of unrest, nor psychological easement of human tension. Nor is the gospel an infusion of tranquility for the troubled mind. A peaceful state may come as a byproduct of the gospel. However, the gospel is not designed the gospel is not designed to bring us peace even here on this earth. But the gospel is designed to save sin-sick souls from everlasting destruction, from the presence of God, and the glory of His power. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. What a terrible thought we might have if to think that we might be separated from God throughout eternity. Brother Hyder confessed Jesus Christ to be the Son of God today. I spoke to him concerning life and death. I told him that he had chosen life. I said, therefore, be faithful unto death. These are the words that I told him this morning. And I hope he and stick by this, and I hope I stick by this very same thing. We must be faithful unto death. The gospel is not a message of peace for the disobedient, but a message of doom. And has a character of being unto life, you got that? Or unto death. It would be wise for all of us to choose life. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15 through 19. Yes, Agrippa was almost persuaded to become a Christian by the building of his faith through hearing the gospel truth. The reason for King Agrippa's negative response to the gospel is this. Acts, the 26th chapter, and let's just look at verses 26 through 28. It teaches of Paul as he is asking a question to King Agrippa in the court. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? He goes on to say, I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. There are three things to overcome in order to receive salvation. Write this down. You must overcome the world. You must overcome the flesh. And you must overcome Satan in order to be saved. This is only possible by being obedient to God and to His powerful word. His word is called God's power because it proceeds from God. King Agrippa was at a crossroad, a turning point in his life. As are all sinners that are convinced and convicted by the gospel. King Agrippa's weakness was his temporary worldly ties. That appears to be of greater value than salvation of his eternal soul. How many of us struggle with being baptized? How many of us struggle with confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God? Because we had friends, so-called friends, that were round about us, and we had what's called peer pressure that was preventing us from doing so. We didn't know what treasure we would have in Christ Jesus. And this is the same thing we're going to see here with King Agrippa. Agrippa was embarrassed by Paul's request for a confession of faith in the company of his pagan host, who may have laughed at him if he answered in the affirmative. Are you embarrassed at Christ today, church? Are you embarrassed at Christ today, church? If somebody asks you if you are a Christian, if somebody asks you, did you believe Jesus Christ to be Son of God, the Son of God? Would you be too embarrassed to say, yes, I am a Christian? And 1 John 2 and verse number 16, it teaches, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything and anything that we see. That's why when you go into Walmart, they have all these things stacked on your left and on your right. You've already done your shopping. Is that all right? You've already finished your list. But they got all of this thing, everything over here on the side. And when you get up to the counter, you're reaching to the left. And you're reaching to the right for everything that you see so that you can satisfy the physical craving that you might have. Is that all right? Somebody say, yes, it is. That's what salesmanship is all about. Putting things where you can see it and lust over it and want it and spend more money to stimulate Walmart's economy. We are also humans that beings, and we seek to satisfy our pride in our achievements and in our possessions. These are not of the Father. This type of thought is not of the Father, but of the world. The pride of life, the control, lust of the ego. Somebody says, I have no problem with ego. I'm the best there is at everything, but I have no problem with ego. The utterly selfish instinct of all humans that insist upon achieving the fulfillment of self. That's what we human beings pride ourselves in trying to do. We have an inherent passion of the soul to do our own will, to fulfill our own desires, and to glorify our own person. Somebody said, why don't you channel that toward God? Why don't you channel that toward God's will? Why don't you channel that toward building up God's name? Why don't you channel that toward... No. We want to satisfy our own and build up our own person. Somebody said, let's make a name for ourselves. Forget glorifying God's name. Let's make a name for ourselves. Salvation requires that we deny self. We are even sometimes we are boastful of titles, of offices, of our birth. I was born a stone. We are superior to everyone else. I'm a bishop. I'm superior than you, more superior than you, Gladys Branch. No. Matthew was in front of God in Matthew 23, 8 through 13 to teach us not to be that way. Am I right about it? We are all equal in God's sight. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. We are all brothers in, somebody say Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we are all equal. Galatians 3, 28, if you are taking notes. King Agrippa was almost persuaded unto salvation. Many today will leave this place the same way. Convinced and convicted, yet lost. Almost, but not altogether persuaded unto salvation and into Christ Jesus through baptism. Salvation, God has a plan for. God has a plan of salvation for the souls of man. God loved us so much, I don't know if you knew about it. He loved us to the extent that he sent his own son, who was living in a glorious state in heaven with him, sent him down as a sacrifice, sent him down to experience a capital punishment, to die upon the cross of Calvary, a shameful death, in our place for us, that we might have right to the tree of life. That's great love. In order for us to receive salvation, we must follow God's plan of salvation. We must hear and believe the gospel, Romans 10 and verse 17. We must repent of past sins, Luke 13 and 3. We must confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Matthew 10 and verse 32 and 33. We must be baptized, immersed in water, this for remission of our sins. We must be faithful, live faithful lives in Christ Jesus, even unto death, despite the trials and tribulations that we're going to experience. Somebody say, no, we're in Christ Jesus. We've got it made. There won't be any more trials and tribulations. I've gotten past that. I've been baptized. I don't have to be concerned about that anymore. Wrong. Even more so now. Satan has a job to do. He does his job better than you and better than I. He's always at work. He's a spirit just like God. Not just like God. He's an evil spirit. And God is a good spirit, but they're both spirits. God is always at work. Did you read that in your Bibles? And so is Satan. He's always out, even while you're asleep. He's trying to put things in your mind to accuse you and to convict you. If someone is here tonight that's not already in the body of Christ, has not been baptized into the church of Christ, you need to come tonight confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Some of us in here may have been baptized into the body of Christ, but find ourselves after self-examination not living according to God's word. My Bible teaches me that those should confess their faults one to another. And then the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man would help in healing, helping them to overcome. I'm going to ask you to stand. The song of invitation has been announced already. I want you to take part in that song of invitation. At the end of the song, if you desire prayer for any reason, if you desire baptism, please let it be known. Let us stand, please.
Don't you answer these knocking?